the regular session to order. We have resolution 23-748, moved by Councilor Haskam, second by Councilor Ryland. Be resolved, the Council of the Corporation of the Township of McKellar is hereby reconvened into regular open session of council at 6:33 p.m. Call the question, all those in favor? None opposed, carried. We've had a bit of change in staff, we'll call a roll call.
Councilor Morley Haskam.
Councilor Nick Ryland.
Councilor Debbie Zula.
Councilor Mike Ekinen.
Clerk Administrator Ina Watkinson.
Deputy Clerk Carly Britton.
Greg Gossick, Director of Operations.
Mayor David Moore. Any declarations of pecuniary and a personal interest in the general nature thereof? Hearing none. Resolution 23-749, moved by Councilor Zula, second by Councilor Ekinen. Be resolved, the Council of the Corporation of the Township of McKellar does hereby accept the reports, recommendations, and directions arising from the closed session held December the 5th, 2023. Call the question, all those in favor? None opposed, carried. In the spirit of reconciliation and cooperation, we wish to acknowledge that the land in which we gather is the traditional territory of the Anishinaabe and the Mississauga people. Its boundaries fall within the Robinson-Huron Treaty of 1850 and the Williams Treaty of 1923. We are grateful to live here, and we thank all the generations of people who have taken care of this land for thousands of years. Honor the suffering of Indigenous people and the love and wisdom they have carried for thousands of years. We pledge to work in community and harmony with each other and the environment we inhabit, and work towards truth and reconciliation. Delegations and presentations, GHD, 2023 Municipal Structure Inventory and Inspection Report. Do we have somebody?
I don't have them on Zoom yet.
Okay.
I just sent him a reminder. I don't know if we want to proceed with Jacob Hamlin first from Food Cycler, and then go with the GHD.
Good, sounds good. 11.2, Food Cycler Science, Municipal Food Waste Diversion Program.
Jacob, if you're able to share your screen and present now, that'd be great.
Yes, good evening, Mayor and Councilors and members of staff. Thanks very much for having me on. I'm going to share my screen now and I'll get started with my presentation.
Thank you.
Okay, should be looking good on your end. Just want to start by saying thank you very much for having me on tonight. I really appreciate taking the time to listen to the presentation. I had sent the letter back in the spring, just speaking a little bit about the program, and I understand at the time there just wasn't any space in the budget, so I'm happy to be back here in front of you today. I know that we had presented back in, I believe, early to mid-2022. One of my old colleagues had presented, and we have a lot of exciting updates that have kind of happened over the last year and a half that I'm really happy to share with you today. So without any further delay, I'll just get started. I'll speak a bit about who we are as a company. So Food Cycle Science, we're an Ottawa company. We started back in 2011, but we started our municipal programs in 2020. Back when we presented to you about a year and a half ago, I believe we had about 30 or less municipal partnerships across Canada. And as of today, we're at 115. It's been a very exciting year, and we've been able to achieve a lot of really strong municipal partnerships and diverted a lot of waste from the landfill. So I'll be touching more on that as we get through the presentation, but I'll just say, you know, we do partner with companies like Vitamix, for example. They're a North American distribution partner. We are an approved supplier through Canoe Procurement as well. If there's ever any procurement needs within our programs, we partner with Eco Schools Canada as well to put food ciphers into classrooms and help education systems not only divert the waste but use our technology as a teaching point. And then the reason I'm here is to speak about our municipal partnerships and our municipal programs that we have. So I mentioned that we have 115 Canadian municipal partnerships from Ames Junction in the Yukon Territory, the City of Nelson in BC. And then many communities across almost all of the other provinces and territories in Canada. We really are a coast-to-coast solution. And we have found that whether a municipality is rural, urban, densely populated, or quite spread out, our solution really has a good need and many benefits, regardless of the demographic and the geography of the municipality. So I'll briefly touch on the issue that we're looking to address here. And the one thing I'll say is Food Cycle Science's objective is to tackle the issue of food waste. And it is quite an issue. Sometimes the majority of household waste at the residential level is organic food waste. It makes up a large portion of our waste stream. If recycling is separated from household waste, sometimes up to 50% or even more of what's left in your household garbage is food waste. So we really want to make sure that we're keeping that out of the food waste, out of that waste stream, and not letting it go into a landfill. When we look at it in terms of the landfill and the waste costs, household organic waste, when it takes up that much of our waste stream, it's obviously contributing towards the tonnage that's being paid for, that's being picked up by trucks or dropped off transfer stations, it's being hauled somewhere, it's being put into an organics either facility or in a landfill, and it's making our landfills fill up quite quickly, to be frank with you, and we want to extend the lifespan of our landfills for as long as we can. When we do landfill organic waste and the environmental side of it, it's in an anaerobic environment, so it's being squished between tons and tons of garbage. And when it's in that environment with the proper access to oxygen, it's producing methane gas, which is quite a bit more harmful to the environment than CO2. And then when we look at it in the community, food waste in the garbage means more frequent collection or more frequent disposal for residents. Food waste is obviously quite unpleasant to have in our garbage. It's sticky, it's messy, it freezes in the wintertime when we put that garbage outside. And it's quite attractive for animals like bears and skunks and raccoons and other pests who like to come into town and go into a residential garbage. So removing food waste from the waste stream, it addresses all these issues. At the end of the day, you're reducing the volume that's going into your waste stream, your landfill. This can save the municipality on a number of costs that are associated with waste management and definitely extend your lifespan of the landfill. And it takes away some of that hassle and that big factor for the residents. So we get asked the question, haven't we solved this problem already? Yes, there are green bins. They are quite common in big cities and places with high population density and proper infrastructure, but they are quite expensive programs to implement, and there's definitely a strong infrastructural aspect that has to be implemented. There are ongoing costs as well, and realistically, if we're looking to remove some waste from our waste stream and reduce those emissions, putting more trucks on the road isn't necessarily the best option there. Participation rates are also an ongoing issue. I know here in Ottawa, we have about 58% participation rate across the city for our green program, and it's been in place since 2009. So it is something that the city struggles to get the proper participation with. When we look at the backyard composting as well, it is great. It's the most traditional and down-to-earth method that there is, but not a lot of people do it, unfortunately. There's space, ability, and know-how, which are limiting factors. A lot of times people don't want to do it in the wintertime as well because the food waste won't actually compost until the weather warms up, and there's still the issue of animals going into that backyard bin. And then the easiest solution is to keep putting food waste in the landfill, and I mean, I touched on a lot of those issues there. The long-term impacts here are quite costly. They're harmful for the environment, and they're making our landfills fill up quickly. I'm going to play this short video here to give an idea of what the food cycle is, and then I'll get into how we implement this as a municipal program. So, food cycle is a household appliance. As you can see, it has that removable bucket, so it doesn't actually have to go on your countertop, as a lot of times it can be marketed by companies with similar technology. But it is essentially a food recycler. Takes your food waste, it processes it, it dehydrates it, grinds it, heats it, and it reduces the weight and volume of what you put in by about 90%. On average, you'll have between 1 and 3 liters of food waste going into your food cycler and 100 to 300 grams coming out of it. It takes on everything, about 95% of your daily food waste, bones, chicken bones, fish bones, small beef bones, meat, poultry, fish, classic fruit and veggie scraps, and then coffee grinds, eggshells, things like that as well. And then that end product that you're getting from it It can go right into your garden. It can be mixed in as if it's a fertilizer. We recommend a 1:10 or 1:20 ratio. It can also go to a backfill composter as well. To give a depiction of what our two machines are that we implement into our municipal programs, the FC30 on the left there and the Eco5 on the right. The biggest difference is the Eco5 has a 5 liter capacity, so typically recommended for households of 3 people or more, but we ultimately leave it up to the resident to choose the machine when they register for the municipal program. When we look at the before and after, I touched on this during our video, but there's about a 90% reduction in the weight and the volume of food waste. It's about an 8 hour or less cycle, so overnight for most people, they turn it on at night, they wake up in the morning, and they have about 10% of what went in originally. They are quite energy efficient, using between 0.8 and 1.5 kilowatt hours of power per cycle. Very low electricity costs for residents who are using them, most often negligible on their electricity bills. Touched on some of these uses about the byproduct, but while we see most residents adding it to their garden soil, it can be added to a backup composter, a tumbler, a green cone, can be put into existing yard waste systems. We also recommend if there is a community compost site, it can definitely be dropped off there if a resident didn't have need for it. And we also like to help bridge the partnerships between local farms and community gardens and the municipality so that residents know that if they do have an excess of a byproduct, they don't have space for it or a garden for it, they can still keep it in the community and kind of close that loop with their food waste and make sure it doesn't end up in the landfill. And then lastly, it can also be added to a green bin program where they are available. When we briefly look at the economic impact of the food cycle program compared to a traditional waste management method, food cycle program is quite simple. It's really just a put your food waste in, click the button, and then the next day you have your soil amendment comes out. When you compare that to the traditional method just has a lot more moving parts, there's a lot more costs involved, there's trucks, there's maintenance. It's a very unrelenting process that is quite complicated, and for the resident, they're basically putting their food waste outside of mind, and they don't get the same satisfaction and the same end product they would get when they're actually managing their food waste at home. When we look at the pilot program that we completed across Canada, so I mentioned that we're partnered with 115 Canadian municipalities. Over 50 of those have completed at least one pilot program, and over 6,000 households have filled out our exit survey at the end of the pilot, and we collected some really good data from there. I have a few lines here of just certain pieces of data that we picked out, but a few that I'll highlight are the participation rate. Mentioned Ottawa has a 58% participation rate in our green bin program. From the residents who have completed their pilot programs, 98% of them have stated that they're going to keep using the food cycler as their method for food waste diversion moving forward. It's a very encouraging and promising statistic there that so many people are happy with using this solution for food waste. On top of that, I'll just add the net new diversion stuff there on the second line from the bottom. We found that each participating household is diverting approximately 300 kilograms of food waste per year. This is net new diversion. We asked residents, what did you do with the food waste before joining the food cycle program? The ones who put in their garbage beforehand, this is new diversion that's happening, that it's not going from the composter into the food cycle, it's completely removed from the garbage. So very, very beneficial and encouraging to see as well. And then lastly, I'll just mention the awareness and prevention. 77% of pilot participants stating that they actually are more aware of how much food they're now wasting because they're managing it at home. While it's a qualitative piece of data, and you can't necessarily put a price tag or cost savings on that, it's still really encouraging to see as well. Briefly touched on some federal funding that we have for the program. So I won't get too much into the details of the whole challenge and everything, but we are finalists in the Impact Canada's Food Waste Reduction Challenge. It's a federally funded program and challenge with a lot of grant money that's been poured into it. We were awarded $400,000 in grant funding last summer, and we've been putting that towards these programs, and that's part of the reason why we've been able to have such an increase in the number of programs that we have. We're being patient and waiting to hear about the final stage of the program, which we'll find out early in the new year, if we are one of two grand prize winners of $1.5 million, which will be invested right back into these programs. And I'll just add that any municipalities that have partnered with us or are currently partnered with us, they'll have the right of first refusal on any subsequent funding that we receive. I believe three more slides before I wrap up here and open up for questions. Briefly looking at the pilot timeline here, basically when there is an approval for a program, residents will then purchase the food cycler at a subsidized rate from the municipal office, use it for 12 weeks. In the resident guide that we give them, there's a tracking sheet, they track their number of cycles per week, and then as I mentioned, there's that exit survey. They provide a review of the program and any of the feedback, as well as how much they used it. And then from there, we put all of those results into a report and presentation. We present it back to council and to any kind of environmental committees. And then we use that to go towards the waste management master plan for the municipality. And we can tailor the program to further increase the number of households involved and increase diversion in the municipality as well. This is what our program looks like in terms of the subsidy model. So we have the retail price there at the top that you can see on the Vitamix website, for example. We added our municipal discount and then that Impact Canada federal investment. That brings the price of the program down by 50%. We ask for a municipal subsidy of $100 per household, regardless of which machine is actually chosen by the resident. And then the resident pays that final cost of either $150 for the small or $300 for the larger machine. We found that this price point has been very effective. That's part of the survey residents' answer as well, as was this an effective price point for you? Is this something you recommend? And we found that in participation, residents having to put a bit of money from their pocket into the program means they're gonna use their machine. It's not something they're getting for free that's being put on your doorstep, and they're invested in the program along with us, along with the federal investment, and along with the municipality as well. So I'm gonna wrap up after this slide here, but this is just to look at what the pilot scopes look like. For our smallest programs, we offer 50 households as the minimum. That would be a federal, or sorry, a municipal investment of $5,000 plus shipping and tax. And that's money that you'll see back in direct savings within 2 to 3 years, depending on your tonnage costs and the cost within your waste management contract or your landfill costs. This is immediate and impactful diversion that's happening the second that these machines get into the households of your residents. I'm not gonna go through all of these points because you have a copy of my slides, I believe, and just for the sake of time. Overall, these are just some partnership benefits that may resonate with you as to why you should consider partnering with us. I went through a lot of these points with the presentation, so I won't go through them now. But I just wanna finish off by saying that I appreciate you taking the time to listen to the presentation. My ask of you today is to receive this as information, and if there is some interest in partnering and putting a budget item towards this food cycler program for 2024, we would be happy to work with a staff member if you refer us to one, and we can bring a report and recommendation back to council. I'm happy to start a discussion now as well. So with all that being said, I just want to say thank you again, and I would welcome any questions now at this time.
Great. Well, thank you, Jacob. Appreciate that, and let's open it up to council and then the public if you have any particular questions with the program. Councilor Keckin.
I think I seen in the previous version, I don't know if it was the contract agreement, but if the municipality purchased the 50 units and they were only able to sell 25, that there would be a buyback from Food Cycler. Is that part of the agreement as well?
Yes, thanks for the question. And yes, so there is a buyback clause in our contract. So if after a year of the delivery of the units, if there are still some that are left unsold, which I'll note has actually not happened to date, there's typically a wait list over an undersell. But yeah, we will purchase back the units. We want to eliminate the risk from the municipality. We understand that this is a new program for a lot of places, even though it has been around for a few years now. But on that note as well, we do have a full implementation team that has a full marketing and promotional strategy that we work with your staff members to ensure residents hear about the program, are educated on the program, and they have all the tools and info that they need to make the decision whether they want to join the program. And with that, we really value it as a partnership where we make sure we're going out of our way to make sure that residents know that this program is coming to town and that they have the opportunity to register.
So one of the aspects I do appreciate with this is that it does make consumers aware of the volume of food waste. So I think that that is one of the benefits that you've mentioned in here in your presentation as well. Just doing, you know, simple calculation, it looks like if, you know, the diversion is average about 300 kilograms per year, 50 households, that's 15 tone. And I believe that the township pays approximately $200 per tone at for waste disposal through our agreement. So just for the $5,000 municipal investment, just in savings for tonnage would be $3,000, not including transport. So there's a pretty good return on investment. And as I mentioned previously in any of these discussions, that, you know, I think there's many different options, and this here can fit into the overall scheme of the waste reduction, composting, waste diversion of a municipality. So, you know, each one plays a certain role for participants. Some may want their backyard composters. This might be suitable for 50 of our residents that work for them, and others may choose other options. But I think that this is a viable option in that overall composting waste diversion scheme.
I appreciate the comment, and I have to agree, in a perfect world, people have their options on how they want to manage their food waste. We found that anywhere you go, there are the average thumbs and average composters. And there are a lot of people, regardless of whether they're rural or urban, who are interested in this program as well. So I agree with you, it is a piece of the puzzle. And I believe that through our over 100 municipal partnerships, we've shown that this is a very viable option as well.
And I believe that Perry Sound, they completed their first stage of the pilot program. I tried looking on their website to see if I could find any of the details. Are they continuing on with the project going on into the future?
I believe we're in discussions with Perry Sound to look at how the program would best fit into their 2024 plans and budget. Not too much further away, I'll use the example of Jordan Bay Township. They did a pilot program as well, somewhere in Perry Sound start. They're a little bit ahead along the stages than Perry Sound, but they've opened up to another 1,000 residents to have a food sector as well. So that's more of a stage of implementation as the year is going on, but they're an example where they started off small and saw the success, and then they went quite a bit larger after that initial pilot.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you.
Councilor Ryan.
Hi, Jacob. Can you tell me what's the expectation of how many cycles a typical household, I was going to say normal, but I don't know what normal is, but do you have an expectation from the surveys and things that are done of how many times a week that they're using it?
On average, yes, thank you for the question. So on average, we're seeing just under 4 cycles per week per household. And from there, the data is quite intricate in terms of, we ask if they have a small machine or a large, so we know as well as if their bucket is full or half full, et cetera. So we can find those averages, and we found that throughout the data. It's just under 4 cycles per week. And when it's the residents with a larger machine, it's obviously more diversion from them. And once it's a smaller machine, it's less diversion on that end. But we found that 4 is typically the average. And it really depends on multiple factors, including the household size, how much food that household goes through in general. But that's kind of been, based on over 5,000 results, that's been the average.
Just one follow-up question. I spoke to a local resident who actually has a cottage here and has a home in Kitchener. She has a food cycler in both locations, and she's very pleased with it, I'll say that. The question I have for you, her concern was that the filters that need to be changed, I guess, and she told me that they use theirs every day, so perhaps more than normal, but she was complaining that the filters themselves were not recyclable because they're made of black plastic, and the cost, she told me, was roughly $80 per filter. Is that accurate from your view, and or is that typical?
So that was accurate in the past.
Okay.
We're obviously always trying to innovate, so our machines no longer come with the black plastic filters. They come with refillable filters. So they're basically twist off lids now, where once the 3 or 4 months has passed and the carbon inside the filters no longer has their odor filtration capacities, residents can purchase either from us or from a local retailer carbon pellets, essentially activated charcoal, and they can refill their carbon filters.
Okay.
That way, we've taken away that plastic waste side of things. I know with our carbon, it is biodegradable. You know, speak for other retailers, but we have definitely taken leaps and bounds in terms of the sustainable side of the carbon and the filters and everything. So I believe on our resident portal for our municipal programs, which any resident who's participating in the program has access to this portal, you can get filters for about $20 to $25 on average. So for a year's worth of filters, you'd be looking at about $60 to $80.
Okay, and would they be retrofittable into earlier models of the food cycler? I don't know how old hers is, but I mean, are they, is that applicable across all the food cyclers that are presently out there?
Sorry, your audio did cut out a little bit there.
Okay. The question is, would that new refillable filter be available for all the models that are out there, at least all recent models that are out there? Do you understand?
I apologize.
Okay.
Just copy again.
Take your mic off your chest,
please. I had really good audio. I'm sorry.
I'm sorry, Jacob, my microphone was inside my jacket.
Perfect.
Can you hear me now? Yes, okay. Would the refillable filters be available for all the models that are currently out there, at least reasonably speaking? I'm not talking about something that's, you know, a decade old or something, but I would imagine that hers were a year or two old, so that she could use a refillable filter instead of the black ones? Yes?
Correct.
Okay.
So we,
that's great.
Yes, that's correct.
Okay.
Yeah, they can be replaced. And in a lot of our other programs, residents are replacing the disposables
okay.
with refillables instead.
Great, thank you.
Thank you.
Other questions? Public?
Yeah.
You know,
we'll need a microphone so they can hear it.
Hi, it's Tony Best. Nick asked me because I have one of the machines and the discussion had come up previously in the Environment Committee. And obviously, everybody is in favor of things that move to a better environment. So there's no question about that. So they are a little more complicated to use than you seem because, you know, for example, you can't put cooked potatoes or bread in there. You know, but you have, there's a learning cycle and a lot of mistakes that happen. But they do work. My garden's benefited. I'm quite frankly surprised at the 300 kilograms per household. But I'm, you know, it's just one of those things. So I think it's worth a study, and I think that in the end, the council has got to think about how much money they have for initiatives relating to the environment and which ones are the top priority for this year, and evaluate it in the whole basket of what you want to do in the year as, you know, responsibility to the environment. So it's not a black and white, but I think there's a lot of work that we need to follow up. I would suspect that there is an initial take up of people that are really concerned with the environment are going to be at the front door, and they probably, like Jennifer, bought one anyway, like myself bought one anyway, but there will be that first take up. The longitudinal side of this is whether it extrapolates out is another story. So I think it's worth a study, and I think we should evaluate it with all of the initiatives that are protecting our environment.
Okay.
Thank you, Tom.
Appreciate the comments. I'm just wondering about the technical side. Nobody's talked about it. So are there any repairs required at all? And are we talking noise when these things are running? Or?
So the machines are quite quiet. I would say a bit quieter than a dishwasher. Overall, machines, they are quite repairable, especially the larger units. So, larger unit is completely modular in its design. If there is a certain aspect of it that isn't working for whatever reason, we can actually replace that part. But all the units come with a standard running warranty. Typically, if there are any defects, they're going to be noticed within the first 30 days, or at least the first few uses. So with our municipal programs, that's also something where we convey and communicate to the residents, if you do have an issue with your machine, come to us, here's our contact info for our customer support team. We'll troubleshoot the problem with them, we'll replace the unit if need be. It's a very hands-off program for the municipality in terms of staff capacities and time. We have a dedicated team for these programs, and with the repairs or anything that has to happen in that sense, we're happy to work with resident and we replace if need be.
Okay.
The audio was a little bit choppy, so I hope I answered your question effectively.
Yep, no, that's fine, thank you. I'm just wondering, because in some cases, we have a lot of local suppliers who sell the product, but then to get repairs, it makes it very difficult. So it's good to hear that you have contact people and.
David, can you raise your mic up higher on your?
I don't know if I can or not.